Hey everyone, welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. On today's episode, we're going to shift gears a little bit. This season is all about influencers and influential people, and today we're talking with someone who is quite literally changing the face of the Western industry. Abby, tell them who we're talking to.
John Ferguson. He's a photographer from the UK who has spent his career covering news stories after things like natural disasters to active conflict zones. He's photographed celebrities, and he even promotes corporate accounts. So it was on one of these work assignments that John had a chance encounter with a really unlikely, we'll say, group in New York City's Times Square. And that's the reason we're speaking with him today.
Amidst the bright lights and the big city, John met a group of black cowboys on horseback, a sight he had never seen before. Truthfully, a sight not many of us have probably seen before. Not just cowboys in the city, but black cowboys in the city. John was inspired to learn more and started to ask himself questions that I'm sure a lot of us are asking ourselves right now.
Really, why haven't we heard about black cowboys before? Like, is that a thing? And if so, why aren't they really a bigger, more visible part of the Western world today? But most importantly, how familiar are we actually with the history of cowboys, the history of the West, and the idea of that being anything but predominantly white?
Unsurprisingly, this is not the history we'll read about in the pages of our classroom history books. These are not the faces we'll see in feature films of the Wild West. These are not the names we'll hear credited with the founding of range management techniques or rodeo sports, or even, ironically, the name of the cowboy itself.
This blows my mind. So in the late 1800s, it's estimated that one in every four men working in the cattle industry was black.
Wow.
One in every four. Wow. 25%. So many of these men were either former slaves or the descendants of slaves, and highly skilled individuals with herding knowledge connected to their African ancestry, to Spanish enslavement on the island of Hispaniola, to taking care of slave owners' cattle during the Civil War. The list goes on and on. And it was these black working men who became the first to be called cowboys, because they were derogatorily referred to as boy instead of by name.
Well, despite being some of the most prominent figures in the West in the late 1800s into the 1900s, they've been completely written out of our history books. We don't see them portrayed in classic Westerns because Hollywood was segregated. When we do see them, we often see them portrayed in stereotypes and tropes. We don't hear their names on the rodeo circuits because Jim Crow laws and rodeo bylaws prevented black athletes from competing, historically barring them from large successes on PRCA stages.
But people like John Ferguson are working to change that, to really challenge the narrative and ask us to consider not only the history, but its current implications. It's more important than ever for us to start having these conversations and to start digging deeper and to start promoting the true and powerful history of these black cowboys and the invaluable contributions they've made. We're so excited to be on this journey with y'all.
Looking through your Instagram, we kept coming across kind of this idea that you are documenting the cowboys that history forgot. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, I was on assignment in New York about 20 years ago on another job, and I saw these cowboys parading through, I think it was Times Square, and I saw these black guys dressed up in cowboy outfits and on horses and the full regalia, and I thought, what are those guys doing?
Is this real?
Sort of circus act or something, I don't know. And I was intrigued, and I found out a bit more about them, and they said they're the first black, they were paying homage to the first black cowboys, you know, with their, do you know about black cowboys? And I had to say, no, I didn't know anything about black cowboys. I said, yep, they were paying homage to them, as they were the first cowboys, and they helped shape the Western frontier. So it intrigued me to find out more, but it took me another 15 years before I could embark on my adventure across the southern states of America in search of the forgotten cowboys.
Wow. So that's something you sat with for a long time. You were just on assignment in New York. And I guess, listeners, you've probably noticed that we're not calling John from, like, somewhere inside the
He's
U.S.
He's not Southern. He has a beautiful dialect.
John, you're based in England. And so you were in New York. You went back home and sat with this idea for 15 years?
Well, I went back to America many times, and all my job, I was a photojournalist by trade, that's what I do, and I travel the world highlighting stories, features, natural disasters, and anything that goes on around the world, from Iraq to Afghanistan, Hurricane Katrina, the tsunami, you name it, basically, we did it. So it's in the back of my mind to do this Cowboys, and it stayed with me for, a good 15 years.
So what was it about all of that that really struck you and stuck with you like that?
Well, once I dug a bit deeper into the cowboy history, it just, the more and more it opened up and the more fascinating it became. I mean, from realizing that there were black cowboys out there, to understanding the role that Hollywood played in keeping down black cowboys, to understanding how the name Cowboys originally came from slavery days, as house boy, kitchen boy, water boy, cowboy. That's how the name actually originated. And the white cattlemen were called cattlemen and ranchers. And it was only really Hollywood that sort of like not hijacked. Basically, because it sounded more rugged and manly, and as you know, it went on to signify America's ruggedness and all around white hero and everything else. But the original term was from slave days.
And it's funny how those things like that tend to be co-opted, right? To when it serves to benefit the Hollywood picture we take those names, and then we do kind of forget that real history and everything that built up, the whole Western world.
I thought it was interesting too, like just watching the video off of your website and in doing some other research on really the history of black cowboys, a quarter of the cowboys were black, which is not something that is not represented.
I don't think we highly advertise that.
No, and probably based on Hollywood's idea of what is marketable, who is marketable, and it's just not historically accurate at all.
Well, as they say, history is usually written by the winners, and they dictate their version of history. So a lot of it gets left out of the mix. So you have to dig deep, and it was more, the books I found were really the more academic and very historical based books on the history of the black cowboys, and then the buffalo cowboys, and the relationship between the Indians and the African Americans. It just goes so deep, and then also the music as well, the blues and the horsemanship. There's so much there, it's unbelievable. So when I decided to look into it, because I needed to, remember, I was sitting in London, in my home in London, trying to figure out, how am I going to go to America? How am I going to find these forgotten cowboys, and how am I going to put it into a concise story? So there was a lot of research went on before I actually even left England to travel to America. So I was lucky to find one or two working cowboys, and they agreed to look after me and put me up and to introduce me to others. So I got my ticket and off I went with a pal to shoot some video and shoot loads of images of these cowboys, and it was a fantastic journey that I'll never forget. It's brilliant.
Where did you start with all of that? You decided, you knew you had to do that research, you knew you needed to find someone, you obviously you need subjects to document,
right?
Where did you start?
I obviously through the web and try to find the right people. It was through a guy called Cleo Hearn, who ran the Cowboys of Color rodeo around Texas. I met him in a place called Mystique in Texas, where he was holding his that year's rodeo of color in Mystique, and from there I and my colleague Greg, we met others, and I think because we were in English, they were more intrigued that we were interested in their history. So that really helped. Especially being down south, two guys with London accents, really stood out.
Hanging around the rodeo.
You sounded cool.
Sure. Yeah. And also when you're in America, you sort of embellish your accent a little bit more, so it sounds a bit more...
It's like
as
when the
as possible, basically. Yeah.
When the Southerners come up north, there's more of a draw when they come up here.
Yeah, we're down there in the South saying big.
Yeah.
Dollar.
But through Cleo and his contacts, I found a massive diverse range of cowboys, some professional cowboys, some freelance cowboys, and some hobbyists and horse enthusiasts and full-time rodeo competitors and part-time rodeo competitors. So they all made up the big mix of what I was looking for, basically. There was I was looking to find a community, a black cowboy community that many of us had never heard before. So it didn't really matter what part of the community or industry they came from. For all intents and purposes, they came from the cowboy community, and they had a cowboy heritage that they loved, and it was made them proud. But they kept everything so quiet. They were just there's a little community. There was thousands of them. There are thousands of them still, and thousands of interested people in that community. But it's just like I just couldn't believe how. For somebody who's a well-travelled, well-read person and myself, I couldn't believe I've never heard these people before. So I was really happy to find this community there in Texas and all over Oklahoma and elsewhere in America.
I mean, you hear of the occasional, this is a PBR bull rider and he is the, most well-paid black athlete in the PBR, whatever. You see a few slip through the cracks, but to hear that from day workers to people that just want to own a few cows to people that show horses to, every side of the industry, there are black cowboys and there's a lot of them. It's cool.
Yeah, And black African-American interested people, interested in the cowboy history and heritage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In thousands, if not millions of them. But they do seem to keep it to themselves. They're quite stoic about their heritage until you start talking to them. And then it all comes out. But other than that, they keep themselves and get on with their lives. And I think that's uniquely American for that sort of... I don't know. Maybe this isn't uniquely American because Americans do like to shout about what they've got.
We love
smiley face as well.
Scrolling through your website, seeing how poignantly that story comes through, and this history that has, whether it's been kept quiet or whether that voice has been stifled and intentionally suppressed, to for you to give people that space to be represented and tell their story is a really beautiful and important thing.
Well, as a photojournalist, as I said, I used to travel the world quite a lot. My job, I work for a national newspaper in the UK, so I was privy to a lot of stories, a lot of communities, a lot of people, a lot of different, various different individuals and societies and everything else. So I was quite clued up about what made an interesting story. So, yes, that's why I always kept that cowboy story in the back of my mind. But I didn't think, I I thought somebody would have, you know, would have attached themselves to that story and worked on it before I got back there after 15 years, but they didn't. So I'm just as well if I went back and revisited the story, really. Or actually,
you said you've covered, you know, Katrina, you've covered natural disasters, you've covered, you know, everything here that you've done. Have you felt like this has been received as your other work has been received, or has that looked a little bit different in how people have responded to your work in this particular project?
The reception for this project has been fascinating, but I also kept it quiet for another 6 or 7 years. I don't know why. I knew I wasn't ready to publicize it. Actually, I thought I was going to go back out there and finish it. To me, it's unfinished. But time moves on and other things get in the way, life gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept the project on my hard drive for 5 or 6 years, actually, and carried on working on other projects and stuff closer to home. It was only the last couple of years that I sort of started, right, it's time to get this project out there, because there's no action about these cowboys, these mm-hmm. communities. And unfortunately, it's only recently that the Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the word, one of a better word. That sort of reared its head, and people started to look at the black cowboys and use it as some sort of almost like a rallying cry, really.
Mm.
Black people want to just celebrate their history and their heritage, and they never really get the chance to. And now they're really, you know, they seem to have a bit of a voice which is a little bit more heard now rather than being underground. So, and it's and everybody loves cowboys. There's not one person.
A universal truth. Yes. Yes.
I would love if you could maybe expand a little more on some of these things we've been talking about. Because you mentioned this a few times, how closely intertwined the history of the United States is connected to the history of black cowboys. Mm. And I think that's not something a lot of people really know about, and it's something Angela and I are definitely still learning about. Always. So I'm wondering if you could tell us more.
Well, yeah, as much as I know, but what I've read. But do you remember the cattle trails?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember those pictures of the cattle being marched up to Northern America?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, a lot of black cowboys were on those cattle marches. They were pivotal. They were. I don't think those cattle marches would have worked without the black cowboys in there, because they endured some of the most hardship on those marches. You know, thousands and thousands of head of beef had to be looked after, corralled and looked at and cared for, and protected from bandits and Indians and everybody else. And a lot of black cowboys worked on those cattle marches for the Chisholm Trail, I think, from down south up to Kansas, I think, as far as it went. But a lot of black cowboys preferred working on the frontiers, even though they were much more dangerous, than working on the plantations, because it had a sense of freedom there.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a collaborative approach on working on the frontiers, because you had to help each other basically, otherwise you'd perish.
Mm.
So black men, if they could escape the plantations, the slave trade, they would ideally want to work within the cattle industry and markets there. I'm not saying that it would be any better, but it had more of a sense of freedom for them, and camaraderie than the plantations. And also, from what I read as well about the black soldiers during the Civil War, I mean, on the Union side, forming regiments, like, and they became known as the Buffalo Soldiers, you know, that famous Bob Marley song, which refers to them. You heard of them, haven't you?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. But they had a pivotal part in the war as well, but that was all sort of brushed under the carpet. They had a hard time fighting, looking after the, or fighting the Native Indians, actually, after the war. They battalions were formed to pit themselves against the Native Indians, opening up the western frontier against the Native Indians. And yeah, it was, I mean, there's much to be said about that part of the Buffalo Soldiers in that time, that era. I mean, there's much more than I would ever know about there, but when I read about it, I thought it was fascinating, the history of those African-American soldiers and the battalions that they had in the Union Army, and just the way they existed, basically. It was obviously it's a tough time for everybody, but it was so tough for those guys, and the hardship they endured as well.
And it's interesting, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about the way that history is often taught in U.S. classrooms, and that it's not often talked about in that dynamic way that you just talked about it. Mm. It's kind of, it's separated into, you know, it's little chapters, it's paragraphs, it's little subsections, where we don't always recognize the unique way that these, you know, groups of people or these entire kind of like historical moments we talk about interacted with each other, that they were all going on really at the same time, like that there were slaves on plantations while we had cowboys, you know, in the West.
They were integral to the Western frontier and the history of it as well, but, you know, they were literally written out of history, basically. Written out of the cowboy culture and the history.
Now, is that where the name for this project comes from, Forgotten Cowboys? Or can tell us more about that.
Yeah, I termed it the Forgotten Cowboys because exactly that's what said on the tin. They were forgotten about. You know, to dig deep to find out their history. But you don't have to dig that deep because they were quite prevalent during the 18th century, 19th century. They were quite prevalent in the cowboy story. I mean, there's so many characters I could go back to, but I can't actually remember off the top of my head now. Nate Love, I remember as one of them being stands out. And even the, I think the Lone Ranger was, the story of the Lone Ranger.
Yes, Bass Reeves.
Black Sheriff. Yes. He was a famous gunslinging sheriff.
I based
the Lone Ranger around him.
Yeah.
There are so many other stories there as well that I've gone through. I wish I'd done my research before I came on. People are interested. It's definitely worth looking into and reading up because it's a fascinating story. And some of the stories I put on my Instagram account, some of the pictures that I always put a little bit of history beneath the pictures as well to signify a little bit of what went on and how the black cowboys were, how they existed and how they lived, and some of them they claim to fame as well, you know. So, as I said, it's a fascinating story. And I said, the more I dug into it, the more I wanted to learn and find out about. And it still fascinates me today. So, yeah.
So did you start this research kind of looking back on the past, the historical perspective of this, and then discover the contemporary piece, or was it?
Anyway, I was so excited to find that there was a community out there that I just went out and tried to find members of this community, members of the African American community, and it all went hand in hand, really. I had two trips to America. So I did do some research and history behind it before the second trip. Found out a bit more and went to Oklahoma, a bit more, and to Mississippi, and further down, I think St. Louis. I can't remember. I went to six states, I think, in the end. So,
wow.
It's a long, it's a great road trip actually. So, but it was all stemmed through finding these contacts through the rodeos. But even the rodeos and the black competitors weren't allowed to compete and up until 1986 or something. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I found that very strange as well. You know, so, you know, major football, basketball, and everything else over in America, African Americans were competing, but not, they weren't allowed to keep competing in the rodeos in the 80s. So.
It certainly seems like that's a little behind the times.
Well, and a lot of people, I think about this as like an Old West type mm-hmm. of narrative, but it was that's so current.
Yes.
I mean, that's not that far behind us at all.
No.
And
no,
to think that right, that's, yeah, it's ridiculous.
When you think back truly about the living history of this story that, you know, as you're documenting this and as you're reporting, you're talking with some of like the founding members of this movement, of this recent push from like going from midnight rodeos to having the Bill Pickett rodeo mm-hmm, and the monumental shifts that are happening.
Yes.
It's a fascinating story, isn't it? And still today, many people don't know about that history. Many African Americans don't know about that history. And that was another reason why I wanted to produce this body of work. I mean, it would be great if I could turn it into some sort of educational piece as well. And then saying that, though, it is getting more notoriety now as well.
There's so much more available now than there were 10 years ago when I first looked into this. And there's a much more of a massive presence now. The radio, the black colour of the rodeos of colour, sorry, are much more popular than in America. And there's even the hip hop rodeo, which I found most fascinating. And it tours quite a few states in America.
And which was that? Was it hip hop? Yeah. Is that what we heard you say? Hip hop rodeo?
I heard one recently that was called the hip hop rodeo.
Really? I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Writing that down.
That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? So I'd love to come back out there and do another slice of the rodeo. The whole community, actually. I'd love to go back out there. But at the moment, I'm looking to put it together as a book as some sort of educational sort of resource. And also maybe have some sort of gallery representation in America. That would be really cool.
Time since you did the initial work versus now, what inspired you to bring it to social media?
I think because I had more time now, and then because of the Black Lives Matter movement, I think that was actually people saw it, contacted me. There was quite a few people in the American Foundations and Museum of Nevada about it as well and contacted me, and that's what.
You're fine.
And they came to me and the South Nevada Museum, and they were the first people to run the exhibition of images end of last year. And from then on, it's sort of grown slowly, organically, slowly, without me doing much work. And then people started to see the work, and then, as I said, the Black Lives Matter movement sort of erupted, and I dedicated a whole Instagram page to the project, which I should have done years ago, but I didn't. So.
Yeah, all in its own time,
but I didn't.
It's here now.
Your prints from maybe what they've seen on Instagram that they've been so moved by, and then bring them into their homes, etc.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and if they see something on the Instagram account and it's not on the website, they can always have a print as well as any, because there'll be more prints on the Instagram account than will be on the website, so they're all available for purchase, and they're all top quality fine art prints as well.
Love that.
They look beautiful.
So cool.
That's amazing because, like you said, that's, you know, Black Cowboys have been so much a part of the of just this entire history, but of the story that tends to be written out. Mm-hmm. And so then to bring that back and say, okay, maybe we don't see that in, you know, paintings that were done, you know, during this era, but we can see it today, see it, and that, you know, this entire group of people is now being represented.
I'm thinking of maybe a child. When somebody sees a person that looks like them, their imagination can go wild. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden there's this, and I say this as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl that looks like Barbie, okay? Like, I've never not been represented. So I know how important that is, because you really can dream even bigger when somebody that looks like you is out there doing it first.
Opens that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fascinating to see a young black kid from another privileged background that sees a picture of a cowboy, you know, and read about their history and the cool things that they did and then done. And even today, the black rodeo riders, you know, you can, you know, something to emulate and be proud of, you know, that's great. I mean, as a black person, you know, you look back and in their history, you know, their history isn't filled with joy, excitement, and adventure. Mm. So when you see a black person from the 1860s dressed up as a cowboy with guns and riding the horse, and there's an old photograph of him, an old drawing, you know, that makes your imagination run wild, you know. For a young child, you can imagine how interesting it would be.
So many of the interviewees brought that up, saying, like, the importance of showing people that still is, like, their story and their culture. And so to be, like, a mouthpiece for that. It's not surprising. Yeah, to normalize that and say, like, hey, this is our thing.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we were there, too. We played a part in this history as well. And now you can read about it and learn about it. Because, you know, it's there. We highlighted it. And I'm helping to highlight that history a little bit, you know, giving a little bit of knowledge towards the subject that's been there for centuries, but not been told properly.
So John, obviously your Instagram, your website are great sources for some of this historical information as well as introducing. What are some things that you would recommend that people can go read or go look at or go watch that is going to teach them this real history that we did not all get in our U.S. history classes?
How much time do you have? Because you want that. I have a list of books and stuff that I've got that I know about, but I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember them. I've got my library has grown exponentially since I've been doing this work. Mm-hmm. But I wish I could remember. I'm not home either. I'm out. So I wish I could remember the authors and the books, but I can't remember. And there hasn't been that many films either. There hasn't been many films that feature black cowboys.
You know, we've thought about that, John.
We fell into a big discussion about this just last week.
Yes. Yeah. White men in general have kind of, well, they have the monopoly on the Hollywood film industry when it comes to Westerns and all of that. But what a cool thing moving forward that there are books out there. There are documentaries where people can learn from and continue to do better.
So for all of you who are listening today, you absolutely need to go check out John's work if you're not familiar with it.
Yes.
He's on Instagram. He has his main website. He's launching a website for this work specifically. Mm-hmm. He has a beautiful short film clip out there. And we will get together with John and put together a list of maybe some of his favorite mm-hmm. resources for all of you to check out because it's past time that we all start learning about this and having these conversations. So John, could you tell everyone where they can find you online?
Online, my website is johnbergsonphoto.com. There's a section there with my personal projects, and my Instagram account is john_bergerson_photo, and also The Forgotten Cowboys. Another Instagram.
All of the Instagrams. Well, John, thank you so much for being on today. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you dealing with the Iowa storms happening in the background here. And the story that you're helping to tell is so, so important. And we're just honored to be able to talk about that with you today.
Well, thank you for being interested in my project. I really appreciate your calling and inviting me onto your podcast.
Absolutely. Anytime. And if you ever need a place in Iowa, you know, we're here for you.
Not in the storms, though.
No. Today's not a great day, though.
Not today,
All right.
Thanks very much. Thank you. All right, you guys, that is another episode of the Breaking Western podcast. We will see you next week with another influencer or influential person within the Western industry. See y'all next time.